This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. And we'd like to thank the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of the world's funniest comedians. This is Comedy Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world, to another episode of Comedy Gold Mines. I hate that I have to give an introduction to what we do on this particular show, but without an introduction, for my new listeners, you may not be aware of what this is, which is why the introduction is necessary. Comedy Gold Mines is a podcast where I get into the minds of comedians, comedic actors, people that have a comedic love or comedic talent. Doesn't matter what you are, but if comedy's attached to it, I want to get in your mind, because these minds, to me, are some of the most amazing minds there is. God damn it. This is great dialogue, real dialogue. And today's is going to be a lot of fun, because I'm talking to I'm talking to a guy who can act as a mentor, a role model, and a trendsetter within the world of comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the legend himself. I'm talking about Earthquake. Quake, what up, man?
What up, homie, man? It's good to see you, Kev. You know you my guy, man. What's happening, man? Good to see you, man. How you, the family, and everything, bro?
Man, everybody's good. They got no choice but to be. If they weren't, I would say, shut up and stop complaining. Okay? Everybody has to be good. Craig, let me tell you why I said mentor. Let me tell you why I said trendsetter. Let me tell you why I simply gave you those titles, man. You're one of the headliners that has been headlining at a high level in stand-up comedy for years. And not only have you headlined in stand-up comedy, for years, you've always been an example of constantly create. When I say you have been a mentor, your mentor side, for me, has come from your ability to constantly put a pen to the pad and come with funny. Quake has never been content with being one version of funny and sticking with that one version for the duration of your career. I know a lot of comedians, so I hope you know what I'm referring to. I'm talking about the comedians that do material and that do that material forever. And no matter when you see those comedians doing the same shit. And eventually you say, God damn, I wonder if they're ever gonna do some other shit. There's some that just don't do that. And you've never been that, man. You've never fucking been that, Quake. So that's why I wanted to give you those flowers, those accolades in the beginning, because it was you that I got to see. It was you that I was around in those beginning stages of my career when I first got to do what was a tour. When I first got to be a part of some of those and I was attached to some of the bills you were on, yo, man, you were just a fucking funny guy. But then later on, as I saw you, you were always a different version of a funny guy. You constantly created, Quake. How the fuck was that possible? Where did the writing and love for constant new come from with you, man?
Well, first of all, I don't write and I don't have the accolades or the platform that some of these comedians have, that they are able to recycle jokes over. My number one avenue and revenue of money is stand-up. And I never had a platform as some of my peers had, such as host Comic View, Showtime at the Apollo, none of it. So all my shit is grassroots. So when those 2,000, 3,000 people come see me, mm-hmm. they support me each year. So I have to keep giving them something to keep the revenue coming and for, you know, our people to say, hey, motherfucker, I heard that. So, and I don't, by not writing, it keeps you fresh because I just see something and elaborate on it, you know, and whatever's hot or what's going on, I talk about it and I elaborate on it. And that's how I get down. I mean, so I started that way because I own my own club and nobody wouldn't come to my club because the comedy act told them if they performed at my club, they couldn't work at none of the comedy act.
Where was your club at, Quick?
Uptown Comedy Corner in Atlanta. Mm. That was my club. I started it. I'm the founder. And since they couldn't come, which was a gift and a curse, it made me have to do all the time. So I just started flowing from then on, and that's how I got down, and I haven't changed since.
Now, let me make this very clear, man, for my listeners. When Quake says I don't write, what he's referring to is he doesn't sit down with a pen and a pad and just put the shit, just start putting jokes there. What he's saying is,
true.
Hey, man, you know, look, I'm a creative guy, and the world of funny for me comes from ideas that I have, and I love stepping on a stage and spitting that shit out, seeing what comes from it. And then what comes from it is I stick to. And I keep building on that, right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that this man doesn't sit and doesn't think. He's saying his ideas are in his head, and he much rathers to go on stage and grab a microphone and just spit whatever those ideas are and flow from it. And from that is where he finds the fun gold.
Well, I tried it, though. I tried it because Steve was the one told me to stop doing it that way. Steve Harvey said, your shit come out already ready. You don't have to write and flip it. And once he gave me that green light and said, no, it's not a right way to do it. Your way is the right way. I exploded from there because I tried to do the traditional way because I started in white clubs and I started writing and then rehearsing it. This how it is. And I always got stagnated with it. It just wouldn't work for me. And I talked to Steve one time. We was hanging. He did my club, and I told him about it. He said, no, that ain't how you do it. And since it was off to the races after that.
Now, you said you started off in white clubs. Quake, I want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back to, you know, the bottom, right? And
yeah.
At the bottom, was the name Earthquake at the bottom? Was there a decision that went into that? How did the name Earthquake come about?
That's another insecurity. I got out the military, and I said, let me try this. But I ain't going to fuck my name up. So I said, let's try Earthquake. So if this shit don't work out, I'm like, I don't know that nigga. My name Nathaniel. Because it wasn't no epiphany. You know, let me try this shit. You know, and if it comes, you know, it was just the best decision that day. I hear comedians all the time say that. Kev, you know, hitting stuff. I seen Richard Pryor there. Got out the military and say what I'm going to try. And, of course, everything with my story got something to do with a woman. And we watched Delirious, and she was on the floor just dying. I said, that shit funny. But ain't that funny. If you just want to fuck the nigga, just say you want to fuck him. But don't be rolling all on the floor and nice and that kind of shit. You know what I mean? So I fucked up my pride because she wasn't giving me no pussy. But she was all on Eddie with the red suit, so I was like, she was like, man, you do it then. I said, I can't do it like that, but I bet you I could do it. So, and it started from then on. So I started going to like Coconuts and different five. And once I got out the military, they gave you $75. And that was better than working a regular job. So I started doing that hosting. And then to be a headliner, I was like, man, I hate coming here early. How do this last motherfucker get to come in when he feel like? He said, that's only for the headline. I said, well, how you be a headline? They say, either get some credits or make the people behind you don't want to be on the show that you had to get your own. I'm like, well, I can't control that part, but I can control the other part. So that's how I came down. So that's how I came to Earthquake, and that was my whole vision for being a headliner, and because I wanted to come in late and don't have to be there when the waitress get to the club and say all them fucking announcements and shit.
You're one of the people whose name match your reality, right? And I think that's a real thing, man. You know, you're not a person that people jump up to follow. You know, Earthquake's on the show, or you know what to expect. You always have known what to expect. You said something earlier. You said, you know, you didn't get the opportunity to have some of the platforms that some of these other comics have had by, you know, what hosting the Comic View, or was it Def Jams or whatever. Do you feel like at those times when those opportunities were presenting themselves, do you feel like you came close and possibly got overlooked at some moments? Is there any feeling of reservation because some of those things that didn't happen? Or are you okay with the way that some of these things have kind of panned out for you?
I mean, when you're dealing with something subjective, what we do, I see who they pick. But I also know I wasn't in tune with the business of show business. I was happy that I could get on stage for an hour and make more money than my other four dudes who was in the military, was working jobs, was getting in, and it was giving me the independence to do what the fuck I wanted to do, whatever. I never came to the conclusion that this was my purpose, this was my calling. This was just something I was doing that I was good at, that allowed me to do whatever I wanted and gave me enough money to make me not have to work for somebody else. So when those opportunities came, I could have been better professionally, more applied myself with the game of it. And when people say show business, it is a game, it's a show. I didn't do that. I came in, did what I did, fuck it, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? And I never applied myself on it. When other people took their profession very, very seriously, and I didn't.
Wow.
At all. And talent doesn't overcome determination for, or your purpose driven that you are, if that makes sense.
Fuck yeah, it makes sense. What do you mean if it makes sense? I clearly understand, man. And I'm asking you these questions because, you know, as comedians, we suffer from this disease of we want what that man got. Or that man shouldn't have what he got. It should be me. Comedians suffer from this thing more than anybody. It's this weird competition and weird negative tone that presents itself for some, right? And then you got a certain group of comics that are just cool as fuck and that love to be around other comedians. And when I hear you say what you say, when you say, yeah, man, look, that right now I know what I did or what I didn't do. But that to me is an understanding. I like that you're saying something on behalf of being aware of you, right? Of what you did. I asked you the question because I personally felt like the world of Earthquake was stepped over and missed in those times, and that an opportunity should have been given because Earthquake was forever the hottest fucking guy on the block. And it was always a question mark as to why. Like, why isn't he the host of? Or why didn't they reach out to Earthquake to be said thing? So, you know, when I got my opportunity to have something, I came to you. And the reason why is, like, I've really been a fucking fan. I've really been a fucking fan. Now, I didn't have that comedy thing that was there. But I had this thing, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna see if Quake wanna fuck with me and this can add to what it is that he's doing. But you were the first name that popped up. Because I'm like, the man is just good at what he does, and I wanna do my part in acknowledging that, reaching out to him for that. So I gave you that. And I just wanted to see what your personal feeling was towards the time before, and if, you know, if there was some reservation. And I think your answer was great. It was fucking great. Where do you stand at in comedy now? What's your feeling with stand-up comedy now?
Oh, man, we great. One of the biggest opportunities in my my career is about to happen. Me and your partner, I guess we could talk a little bit about it.
Say whatever you want, man. This is authentic dialogue.
Me and Dave Chappelle about to collaborate. And Dave feel that fan. Way. Yes.
He's a fucking fan. I've talked to Dave about you. He's a fan, man.
And Dave is, you know, to be quite honest with you, is personally, besides the fact that what you have done for me and Chris Rock and Steve.
Once again, a fan.
You understand? Personally, has provided me opportunities to the point and the humbleness and the appreciation towards it is enormous. So stand up wise, man, that's my love. It's my purpose. It's what I do. I heard Chris Rock's interview on BET Plus, and what he said was so profound, man. He said Dave Chappelle told him about people being funny or not. He said, no, comedy is a language that I speak very well, and it defines us. You talk that language so great. We talk that language so great. And just to be, it's a language that it is, and just to be blessed enough to have it and be able to be self-sufficient on it has always been great for me. And now for people that's in position, such as yourself, Dave, and Chris did it for me when he put me on Everybody Hates Chris, to allow me to do it is the most humblest thing in the world. So to answer your question, 21 has been a great year of being with you for 3 years on your platform and making it the show what it is, the recognition that comes from us, and Dave's reaching out to collaborate for us to do this summer. It's just been beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I'm saying this and I mean it. It's something to say when you're the comedian's comedian, right? And by that, I mean, I can say three comics off the top of my head. Matter of fact, I want to say two. There's two comedians that are comedians' comedians, and that's you and that's JB Smoove, right? And when I say that, I mean, regardless of who the fuck you're talking to, your name comes up. It's a thing of, oh man, been funny forever. Pound for pound, one of the funniest ever fucking do it. It's that thing. And when you said Dave, we've talked about you. We've sat in rooms and we've conversed over how fucking talented you are, how sharp you are, how witty you are. And you know, for me, it's one of those things where I don't understand why the code was never cracked. So the stronger I get, how do I find a way to position you to crack said code, right? The stronger or the more powerful the position, what's the code that can be given to you that you're like, oh, this is the old shit. Oh, fuck. And I think it's just something that, you know, that it's going to happen. It's truly going to happen, man.
Right.
When we talk about comedy today, though, yeah. Right? And you're saying, dude, you're blessed. 2021 has been a great year. The state of comedy, and this is something that I've asked, you know, a lot of the people that I've had on, what do you feel about the state of comedy today? You know, where we actually are, the light that's being shined on it, the magnifying glass that's over the comedian. Do you feel like it makes you better? Do you feel like it makes you worse? Do you feel like it doesn't matter to you? What's your lane?
I think right now it's going to be a renaissance for us. I think they're going with the third eye. I think we right below the pastors, people gonna need us. We are, even during this pandemic, we're frontline workers also.
Wow.
I mean, just as bad as coronavirus is contaminating people's bodies and killing, so is mental health helps. I mean, you yourself don't, there's no way for you to ever know, Kev, how many people you helped them get from Tuesday to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So they was able to deal with Thursday.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? That one joke, that one special helped them to get to Wednesday. Tell that kid could deal with Thursday. Had you not did that, it would have been fucking over at Tuesday. And they wouldn't have seen Wednesday and Thursday. We're frontline workers. So the importance of what we do and who we are can't be downgraded. So me personally, I think right now, no disrespect to any other genre of talent that's out, but Al is going to be the front line, up the front, to be able to put everything. We're the only one that can deal with the social aspect of it, of our profession, the laughter, just the entertainment part. If you just want to get your mind off the situation, you can come see us. If you want to be the political part of it and say, this is fucked up politically, but we're going to laugh about it together. We hit all spectrums of it. And I think right now it's going to be like, you know, I wasn't around, but like the 70s, that they just going to drove to clubs, to arenas and everything to hear the gospel of the stuff that we spit. And for the people, it's like I said, comedy as a language that does well, going to do well, going to resonate.
I love that you said the third eye. The third eye makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. I mean, because look, what we do is powerful. It's something that's needed. It's something that's necessary. More importantly, it's something that has an impact, right? Like, you know, that funny and those that provide that funny, well, you know, you're providing a service. And from that service comes a needed laugh. A needed relief. So I definitely understand what you're saying when you say that. You've also become very vocal, man, on the side of our community. You've taken your platform, radio and social media, to truly make people aware of how uneven we are in our world today when it comes to black to white. I can't say that I've always known that side of you to be vocal, to be, I guess you could say, as passionate about it, because you know people are, they may feel it, but I've never been around you enough to see this side of you. What made you turn that switch on of, no, fuck that, fuck this, here's the problem and this is what needs to change? And Quake, I see you saying it on everything. Like when I say I follow you. When it's time to vote, speaking up as to why, what you need to know, what you need to do. When it comes to right from wrong, here's what's fucked up and here's why it's fucked up. Here's what was racist. Here's what needs to change immediately. These are the laws. What made you become so well-versed and so well-spoken on behalf of our culture?
I mean, we had a clear and present danger, bruh. Duke was a danger. You understand what I'm saying? They had people always say, yeah, yeah, it always was that way. No, they had a spokesman. they had a sympathizer. They had a come on in. You know what I mean? No, the whole nine. So it was just that time, man. It was that time, and right is right, wrong is wrong. And how dare you try to diminish the contribution that my people have done for this country. I served 9 years in the military. I know I have traveled the world. That's right. I know the message you send to the rest of the world. Democracy, equality, all of this stuff I fought for. I've been there on alert, standing in for 12 hours and being deployed at places because they was a threat just in case they was coming in. I've been through all of that. And to sit here and be hypocritical the way you are, that nah. And I know your true power is at the ballot box, because you was making laws, preventing laws, and removing laws point towards my people. And I, though some of them will benefit me, because when Trump did the tax cut, saved me a lot of money. I was behind on my taxes when he did the forget the tax. All that he put in there helped me enormous. But I can't eat well, and I know everybody else that look like me, talk like me can. So even though it benefited me, I still had to call you out and let them know we have to get rid of him, because we don't, it's going to be worse for all of us, including the 1%er like I am.
Hey, man, that's so well said. And Quake, when you talk about it that fast, I forgot your military roots. When you talk about your passion, when you talk about your commitment, you talk about the service that you've provided, but you know the things that are wrong. You see the things that are wrong, and you speak up on them. I think that's dope, man. I think that's dope as fuck, you know, to really take advantage of the platforms that you have. And you have. And you do. You really do.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. And we'd like to thank the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What else does Quake want to do when it comes to this business, right? Of course, you've talked about the stand-up, and you've talked about how passionate you are about the craft. What else in a perfect world does Quake want to do within this world of entertainment, within this business?
I'm going to put my best work out this year.
I like that.
With me and Dave. Then I'm going to hang around people such as them, you and the rest of them, people that's been where I'm trying to go, and I'm going to pick a vehicle that best displays my talent, either that is a sitcom, movie, whatever on it, and then I'm going to tour again, and then I'm going to make choices based upon the things that I want to do, such as movies and TV, that enhances, you know, where I want to be at. And what I mean by that is, you know, I love being on the neighborhood with Said because I'm learning a lot about it, but it ain't work. So I want to do more shit that ain't work, but allow my creativity to come out. Because if it becomes work, then it stifles my creativity because I'm thinking instead of allowing my natural gift that God has given me. So I have to get around people such as you, Dave, Chris, and as these opportunities that I feel that's going to come to me. How do I do this, brothers? How do I want to do this? How do I do this and control this much of the control of it to allow me to do it this way and do it, and I'm good with it?
Well, Quake, that comes with conversation and dialogue. And I mean, right now, when you have thoughts or you have ideas, if it's about executing them, that's where we got to do our job as friends to make sure that we're opening up, you know, the lines of communication to get that information. So when you say to me, hey, Kev, yo, I ain't never asked you for shit, man. Right now I'm asking for the understanding of how to do this and how to do it correctly. I got a job to do at that point. As your friend, as your guy. And if I don't do that job, then that means that I'm not really what I've said that I am. That means that I'm not really stepping up to the plate to simply provide you with understanding and information. That shit should be free. And when you got people that have it at the level that you have, when you're talking about Steve, when you're talking about Sed, when you're talking about Dave, when you're talking about myself, and that's just to name a few, you can go down a list. You don't have the enemies. You got the fans. I'm telling you in a nutshell, brother, like there's no world where that isn't given. There is no world where the business would not be given. And I'm telling you that. That's on this podcast. This ain't for fucking fanfare. That's why I don't do setup questions. That's why I don't do a prep. This is real dialogue. This is real fucking dialogue. You got that from me, man. How many years you got in the business now, Quake?
Since 91, brother.
God damn.
Yeah, got out the military in 91, went to Atlanta and started off. And to your credit, you told me this, though. And people that said it, you said, man, you say you got an ace in your back pocket when you want to use it. Come holler at me. You told me that when you gave me the show. Told me that. But see, brother, I'm not going to come to come. I'm going to come and like, it's right. I'm right. I'm there. It's there. I'm not going. It's a shot. You don't, when you come for a shot and you ask it for a shot, it's also your responsibility if you have done everything for yourself first before you ask somebody else. So I had to lose the weight. I had to take my acting class. I had to see what people was doing. And then I had to come to the conclusion, what do I really want to do? And those things just came in the last 2 or 3 years to what I really wanted to do. And also got the people out of my life that would have prevented me and was preventing me from having it. And had I used the leverage of knowing you, I fuck around with a fuck around and lost it with the people that I had with me. So my spirit wasn't right. So if I wasn't right, I wasn't coming to you and say yes. But I'm right now. Everything is good. Everything is right. I have never been so clearly. I know who everybody is. I know who everybody is not. I know where it is. So I'm good.
You know what I like about that, man, is like there's nothing better than just knowing your shit. Like, you know, I know where my bullshit lies, right? Like, I know. I know my bullshit. So I can't ignore my bullshit. You got people that want to fucking ignore what their reality is. Some people know what the fuck it is, but they act like they don't. They act like, you know, you fucking lazy.
True.
Hey, man, you know that you don't like fucking doing shit. You know your problem. And of course, I'm talking vague. If my listeners are just now listening, I'm talking about people that just act as if they don't know their shit. What I like about what you're saying, man, if I'm hearing correctly, you're like, look, man, you said it, Kev. You told me I had this in my back pocket. But when I come, I want to be right. I want to be prepared. I want to make sure that I got my shit together. I want to make sure that I'm not in a position to fuck off whatever said opportunity would be. And when that is and when that was or when that will, I'll do it. But right now you're speaking as if, yo, man, I got my shit together and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about these things that I got coming up. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about getting back out there because I'm excited about my mindset. That's what I'm like. As you talk, Quake, that's what I'm breaking down from this conversation. I'm hearing you talk and project a different mindset. Like, I got some,
got it. I swear to God.
And I can, like, you know, when you were saying earlier, like, we speak this language, we're, of course, doing a podcast, and, you know, this is a listen for you, but me and Quake are on Zoom, and as he's talking, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at you at the same time. I see it. I can see your excitement in whatever it is that you're building. I can see it. Seinfeld was one of my episodes. And Seinfeld was talking to me about how much he hates TV. Listen to this shit right here, Quake. It's going to blow your fucking mind. He was talking about how he stepped away from TV. I just don't want to do it. I lost the thing. You know, it was what it was. I felt like it got to the height that I could get to. And it was it. And at that point, I just didn't want to do it. I felt like I didn't need to do it. I don't know. So I never went back to that thing. Then I found the Comedians in Cars, and I had a good time with it. But, you know, it ran its course. I did it, and I maximized it. But then, you know, it was, And he started talking about a new thing. He said, I can't tell you what it is. He said, but I think I got a thing. And he was so excited. He was so excited about having a thing. At that level, Quake, I'm telling you what I'm telling you for a reason. At that level and that height of success, what was more important than anything was his excitement over having a thing again that he could dig back into. Your excitement is about a fucking thing, and you don't want to say shit about it because you're like, ooh, when these motherfuckers see, ooh. Ooh, I love it, man. Who is Quake's mentor? Who does Quake talk to? Who has Quake talked to?
That's another Achilles heel of mine, because all y'all are my friends, but we don't conversate. So I have to get y'all information and education third party, that God give it to me. I might hear something that you say and it resonate with where I'm at, without me have to talk to you. You know what I mean? And that's how it's always been through my career. It always have been. You know, hearing Steve with his Steve Harvey's speeches in the morning before he get on there. It moves me. As soon as I catch him, I swear, just like a pastor when you're walking into a church, he talking to me today. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, my man. And so that's how I get down. I don't watch too many comedians that way, because since I don't rap and it's a thought process, I try not to listen to them, though I want to, because I don't want to be contaminated and think I came up with it subconsciously. So I have to keep my mind pure on that end. You know what I mean? I just can't watch.
I'm the same way.
But other than that, man, that's about it. I watch more interviews. Like I said, I watch Chris Rock's ones that he was on BET, and it was everything I needed. It formulated right where I was at. And I'm like, ah. And that's the same thing. Every time I see your interviews and stuff, I watch it because I know something, as if I was talking to you, going to come out of there without me physically being there asking you that question.
I swear to God, this is just why I like doing this. I like doing this shit for these conversations, man. It gives me an opportunity just to have the talk that I wish we could have more of, right? And it encourages me now to go, man, let me just make sure I check in more. Make sure, because it's not all on one side. Like, let me make sure I check in more, because those check-ins go a long way. And right now, between you and I, this is acting as a check-in for me. It's acting as a check-in, but it really, like, you know, I can do better with us. I'll say that, Quake. You on Quake's house, Sirius XM, for those who do not know, Quake has a radio show on Laugh Out Loud Radio, and he's been with me for fucking 3 years, three seasons. You're on three seasons, right? If I'm not mistaken, Quake. And there's an assumption of, yo, man, me and Quake, we fucking great, man. That's my guy. And, you know, he know he my guy. I know that that's my guy. And it's an assumption. But this here just, there's a strong sense of warmth.
That's right.
That's come from this conversation here.
Yes.
And I'm letting you know for real, factually, I'm going to do better with us. Just with me and you, just checking on my fucking guy. Because what you're saying, like, yeah, man, I don't be wanting to, you know, I got to get it in pieces, or I, you know, I'm waiting to come. There needs to be just more of an open door here in general for you, because of my level of respect for you, man. It's like, that's like, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that shit. This is, it's real. There's a high level of respect for fucking Quake.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
You know, Quake, there's so many similarities that we shared. I remember when we were going through our divorces at the same time, right? And the crazy thing about the divorces, the one thing we're not going to do is get into a conversation about our exes, because that's not what men do. We don't do that. We don't need to go and talk about things or bring up stuff or bash. But I remember there was such a, we just laughed at one another at one point.
Yeah.
Because we were going through the same shit. You get to passing these stories back and forth, and all you can do is laugh. That's all we can fucking do is laugh. Yeah, me too, man. Me too. I'm about to, yeah.
Remember we was at the after party, and you like, yeah, you was coming out of yours. And you said some shit talking about, yeah, it's good to have a good woman. You ain't got to go through that shit. I said, well, thanks, Ken.
Yeah,
ain't gone through. Oh, I'm sorry, Quake. It's just hitting you still, huh? Remember we was there? I said, well, you was sitting on the back of the shit. And I'm like, so really, man, you going to bring that fucking shit up right now? Yeah, I remember that shit like yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That to me is so funny, because you know when you have those moments, you hold on to those moments. You hold on to those fucking relatable moments, man. You said you gotta go, and you know you got so many. You pick these pieces from all of them, right? If you could tell me right now, You gotta give me your guy though, or woman. Who are you a fan of? Like, just give me your one. Give me your, or give me your top. Give me your top three. What is your comedic top three? Who's Quake's comedic top three?
Most talented person I ever met, totality of it, in our realm, is Eddie Murphy. You know, when I met that motherfucker, when I met Ed, I was like, oh my God. Who had the most influence on me, stand-up wise, is Steve Harvey.
Love Steve.
Work ethic, and I'm not just saying that, I'm on here with you. You're the hardest working motherfucker. See, I used to look at my woman and say, no, run, look at this motherfucker. If I was to get up, run, lift, go over here, do that, hell yeah. I do an hour a day, and I get an hour a day results. That nigga is this. Because when they hate, I be trying to say, nigga, you, it's the totality of what he's doing. You trying to look at LeBron James and say, okay, I jump higher than LeBron, that makes you a better player. It's this whole game, nigga. You might jump higher, to metaphorically speaking, than him is, but you don't have no crossover. You don't have no jumper. You don't have no, you don't have it all together. So why? Nor are you applying to work on those skills that you already have. Here's back to what you said. You still saying the same shit that you've been saying for 10 years, and that's all you do. So, and then you're going to say, I should be there. So your work effort on it, I sit there. I said, there is, I can't expect to get the results you're getting unless I work just as hard as my friend who's showing you every post. I'm like, this nigga is there again with this other light-skinned nigga working out again. This nigga ran the marathon and still went on stage. This is bullshit. Nigga, I work out and don't want to go to the club. This nigga ran a marathon. You know?
Damn, so, sure did. I was on a bitch with Charlie horses.
Yes, but
I'll never forget that.
But see, when you set a standard, and until motherfuckers want to meet that standard, they shouldn't complain. And so when I see you do that, it's inspirational. So I like, yeah, motherfucker. Now, I ain't running no marathon, but I am going to get up, watch what I eat, not do this on here, work out, do this shit, because the man is doing this. He's showing it, do this. And you used to always put the jab in niggas' face. You want the success, but you don't want to work hard. They're like, oh, that's some cold shit, Ken. I just want to sit there.
You know, I mean, but you got two of them, though. You know, you got Steve ain't no bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Unk. I call him Unk. Unk done sat me down, Quake. Unk gave it to me straight up. Unk told me, he said, hey man, he said, you can go out here and do one thing, or you know, Steve cuss for no reason.
At all.
Like, and you know, my at least, you know, yeah, at least when I curse, Quake, I'm trying to cuss, you know, it goes with what I'm saying. Steve uses cuss words when you don't, and they're aggressive, which is what makes me laugh. He said, see, you can do one thing, or you can motherfucking go out there. You know, he just, and it's aggressive. you fucker, you know, because they don't, motherfuckers don't. Steve, wait, I don't think you need to get, I'm listening to you, man. Steve said, you can do one thing, Kevin, or you can use one thing to put you in a position to do 10 more things. Just for you to do one more great thing. And I was like, I don't understand. He said, business comes in tiers. He said, you only have one tier when you tell a joke. But that joke takes you to a place where you can get to another tier. Mm. And then on that tier, you learn that writing the joke can put you in position to write the show. Writing the show can put you in position to be a creator, a producer. You can get in position to be the star. You can be an actor. You can be a host. You can be a part of the process. Being a part of the process puts you in position to eventually own. When you start to own, you meet other motherfuckers that own. When you meet other people that own, well, guess what? They let you invest in stuff they own. Now you look at it, you're in a venture business. He said, when you get in the venture business and you start to become a person that owns several things, well, people think you got the magic touch. So now guess what? They want you to be the face of more shit that people can own. So they know that you're the guy. He said, it doesn't stop. He said, the world is big because of how many people are in it. Do you want to go to one place in the world, or do you want to go to them all? And when you go, do you want to be known? You talking young K Hart, Quake. We at the Hoodie Awards. Steve sat me down. This is when it's starting to happen. And he let me know how he broke the Hoodie Awards down. I started this, but I was in business with this people, and they came in as sponsors, and I made them all put up set amount of money. We put this thing on. It's for the people. But listen, y'all going to pay for this because the people not getting the money from y'all, and they need to feel this. So I'm going to provide it. He gave such a simplistic outline to the structure that he has approached his profession and his craft with. And it's never left me. It's never left me, Quake. It's a compliment, and I thank you for that. I mean that. I thank you for that. But Steve ain't no bitch.
At all.
That man doesn't. And like, even now, Quake, you with radio, like, this is huge. It's huge. Like, you know, you do great numbers on this platform. You got an audience. That's your audience, man. You got an audience. And with that audience, they're going to follow you. So as you now continue to do more, man, you get to let your audience know weekly. You get to let your audience know you're creating a fucking circle. And that circle is going to be revenue that just comes back to you. You're going to tell people where the hell you go to perform. They're going to go there. They're going to buy tickets there. You're going to tell people what you're working on, or what show you got coming out, or what movie you're going to do. Hey, what you're creating and why you want to do it. What book you writing? Motherfucker, you got to write a book.
Yeah.
And if you want the information as to how to get there, I'm here to give it to you. You got to write a book, Quake. Your comedic journey, man, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. This younger generation has to know. They need to know. Why not? Why not? One of the best storytellers to touch a goddamn microphone. This is when Steve would cuss at you, by the way. Motherfucker. He would.
Fucking yeah. Talk about shit. Love it, man. That's my God, man.
I am swearing to you, man. I'm telling you. I am going to make sure Quake got my cell, send it to him in text. Quake, after you get it, I just want to make sure that we up to date. When you ready, I know you're going to hit, but I'm going to give you a call, and I'm just going to tell you something offline that is very easy for you to do. I'm going to open up one window of idea. It's very easy for you to do, and you're going to go, oh, shit. And you still got your ace of spades in your back pocket. I mean that. I fucking mean that. You want to tell people where they can fucking hear you, where Quake House is played? I done plugged it several times, but you plug it your way, brother, before we get ready to wrap this up.
Thank you, Kev. Quake's House is Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 96. Kick it to my house till you get to your house. And you can come to my house as long as you got that vaccine. That means you're clean. That's how we getting down over here, Kevin Hart. 1 to 3, the number one radio show on Sirius XM, voted by me and my mama, and we stopped counting like Trump did. The election is over with. Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio is the shit. We closed the polls. We took back the votes. And it was rigged if we didn't win. That's how we get down. Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 96. Kick it to my house until you get to your house.
We stopped with me and my mama. We closed the polls just like Trump.
As soon as I got her ballot. You never won, baby. That's it.
That's it. Shut it down.
Shut it down. We won.
Now, Quake, y'all do guests.
Yes. Yes. Man, we done had everybody. We just had Tashina on. We have everybody. What we bring is what we usually do, bring four comedians together, sit back and do hot topics and segments together, and I bring them in the house, and we do just sit down and come and do and allow them to elaborate on whatever subject that we come up on. And I'm the host.
You're a fucking amazing goddamn platform for comedians is what you are. I mean, it's comedians on comedians that come on your show that you embrace, that you allow to come on, that you allow to shine.
Yes.
I was trying to see if you would go in that direction, but that's what the fuck, that's what makes your show so special. So you're doing dope shit already. And I'm just going to keep on shining a light on what the fuck makes you dope. Because whether you realize it or not, I'm telling you, others do. Others do. Point blank. Others do. Which is why you get the respect that you goddamn get, brothers. Well deserved. So I just encourage anybody, any and everybody, if you haven't listened to it, give it a listen, man. I like the fact that this man reaches back. Comedy is hard. Comedy is fucking hard. That's why not that many make it. It's a struggle fucking craft. There's a lot of struggle that comes with it. So if you got people that are giving opportunities or giving some type of platform for people to be funny, for people to be heard, to hopefully turn that level of funny into other revenue or other stand-up opportunities, man, there's a high level of selflessness that goes in that. Respect to the OG. Goddamn earthquake. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Comedy Gold Mines. And today we got into the fucking mind of Earthquake. And I'll say it again, a fucking legend. I believe in the whole give people their flowers while they're here thing. I believe in it. Today I gave my guy his. Man, I appreciate you for doing this, Quake. This was dope as hell.
Thank you, man. I love you, man. And peace to you and your family, man. Much love.
Comedy Gold Mines is a Sirius XM and LOL audio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.